Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. I'm Ez.
And I am Lottie.
And we are back with Bad Batch Season 2, Episode 4, Faster. Can't this thing go any faster? Well, apparently it can. If you drop the guns, it'll go faster. So spoilers ahead. Spoilers ahead, friends. We are going to be talking about Episode 4, Faster. And it's a fast-paced episode, so we're going to talk fast. I'm going to spit it at you. We're going to jump right into a summary and talk about all the different things we have going on here. Really, I think I can sum this up in one little kind of theme, and we'll talk about that in just a second. So this episode, we have Hunter and Echo. They're away on another assignment. Sid takes Omega Tech and Wrecker to Riot Racing on Safotoma, a place I don't know anything about. Safotoma. Yeah. To visit her cocky droid driver, Teo, as in like Heyo, Teo.
Oh.
I don't really know. I mean, I'm just wondering how they come up with some of the names. I'm sure there is an Easter egg on that, so I'll start searching. Why Teo?
Yeah.
Because anytime they name a droid or someone,
it has a meaning.
Yeah, typically. Mm. Like, I mean, remember we were doing some of the, when we were doing the Rebels rewatch, we definitely found some of those Easter eggs where they named the quarry off after like Ralph McQuarrie.
Right.
Concept, you know, artist and stuff.
It is really cool.
But Sid is challenged by Malegi. Get your legs out there. Malegi, that's who this person is. One of her business rivals, his racer, Jet Venom, is going to go toe-to-toe with Teo, right?
Yeah.
So, but Malegi orders him to cheat, causing Teo to lose. When Malegi comes to collect, Omega challenges him to another race for Sid's freedom. But just before that event, Teo is wrecked in an accident.
Of course.
Quote, accident, right?
Yeah.
Tech takes Teo's place as Sid's pilot, and using his calculative intellect to offset his lack of experience, he wins the race. And then Malegi honors his part of the deal, but warns the clones that one day Sid might turn against them.
Yeah.
And that's really this whole episode's point, is just to, so let's, we don't normally do it this way, but I guarantee you after watching this episode that either Sid, one, does betray them down the line later in this episode, or it seems like Sid betrayed them, and she really did not.
Yeah.
Because if you catch in this episode, she said very clearly, I've changed.
Yeah.
Right?
You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. Star Wars is all about change. You're allowed to change. You can, you can go from the light side to the dark side and back again.
Right.
Right? You have choices to make. Come back to the light.
Yeah.
Although Yoda does say, once you start down that path, forever will it dominate your destiny.
Ooh, I mean, sorry to interrupt, because we were watching Rebels too.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Ezra has kind of started down that path.
Oh, friends, we are behind the scenes also doing our Rebels rewatch, and we've gotten through season two. We're ready to drop the big format change coming soon on all that stuff. We are going to plow ahead in terms of the Rebels rewatch, and we're going to get that all out to you guys soon because it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And it does, I mean, again, this comes to the Bad Batch takes place before all of that, but I think a lot of things that they're setting up here are going to play into something down the line, like something, there's got to be a reason for it, you know? And I know the reason right now is just to show us this group and show us the transition, the phasing out of other clones and what happened to the clones, right? Last episode, we were talking about Commander Cody. We've seen Captain Rex. We need a little bit more in terms of their story and where do they go. Those are beloved characters that people want to know kind of what happened, right? How did they get there? So it's great just to sort of fill in the gaps. And I know some people are sort of like, Ez, come on now. There's actually too much Star Wars going on. We don't need all this stuff. I don't know. I'm a guy who basically wants, I want more, right?
I know I shouldn't.
And I know I shouldn't, yeah.
Or the other one. More.
More. Yeah,
more.
Kylo Ren going crazy. More. Oh my gosh.
It's so funny.
Yeah, Lottie has definitely been getting a lot of Star Wars TikTok or
my feed,
you know,
is,
shorts on her phone, and it's just
infiltrated
great.
Infiltrated with Star Wars now.
That's fantastic.
Is that how you say it? Infiltrated.
Infiltrated. Yeah. Yes. So, but yeah, I think this is really nice. You know, when Omega. So the theme, as I was saying, is that Cid is going to, you know, betray them, but yet she is saying that she's changed. She changed her ways.
Yeah.
Omega steps up here and says, we got to do something.
Gosh,
this is not the right thing. We can't just let Cid be taken from us. And so, first of all, Cid, I think she's getting desperate because she's going on these weird sort of, I don't know, she's betting, right?
Yeah.
She's gambling away here. And it just feels like she needs some more money or resources or maybe the jobs are running short. This other job, it only took two of them to go and do. So Tech and Wrecker are just chilling.
Yeah.
Omega's just chilling.
Right.
At the beginning of that, she mentions like, hey, you're running, don't be wasting the electricity.
I know, I saw that too.
Right?
Yeah.
So what does that mean? I mean, if they're wasting electricity, it's like her place, I feel like, is going under. Don't you?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I was going to ask you, remind me again, have we seen her? I mean, she's always been into like a little bit of shady business, right?
Right.
But have we seen her turn against them ever before? Or like where we didn't really know if we can trust her?
Well, and so one thing that they say early on, and this is what I think sometimes proximity or like just time when you watch something, you forget things that were mentioned in season one or early on. And I know you and I also kind of like quickly went through that and I gave you a crash course on it.
Yeah.
But in the beginning there, she's sort of a Jedi informant. She is someone that the Jedi sort of trusted to pass information. So she has had a change of heart, essentially. So like she was working, she seemed to be involved with a lot of these lower life individuals or on the criminal underworld, if you will, right?
Yeah.
And so she has a lot of resources and connections, but she definitely has changed her ways.
Yeah.
And that's been mentioned a couple times. But they're also seeing, through, you know, through association, like Omega, Wrecker, Tech here are now seeing these other guys that she's associated with.
Yeah.
And that might dominate what they think, especially once jobs run out.
Yeah.
And Cid can no longer help them and is not maybe as well connected or, I don't know, kind of like a well that dries up. I mean, she had this well of resources and was, although in the underground, I feel like there's always something that you could do.
Right.
I feel like there's always some sort of deal to be made or something. So who knows? But it could be the growing crime syndicates here. Mm. That's something later on, like Darth Maul gets involved with, because spoilers for people in Rebels, but like, I mean, who are going along with our Rebels rewatch. Lottie now knows that Darth Maul is like back as the old master.
Yeah.
So we're going to be dropping that later on. But he, before you saw him in Rebels, he is ascending. He is this, he's forming, he has this shadow collective that he's still, by the time of Solo, is the head of.
Yeah.
The Solo movie, like Darth Maul becomes the head of Crimson Dawn, if you will. And he's sort of ruling all these other sub factions like Black Sun and the Pikes, and he seems to have sort of a hold on them. So I'm kind of wondering, with Cid being associated with some of these other groups, like in the Pikes, I mean, we had an episode where the Pikes in season one showed up and were looking for spice, and the Bad Batch had to go collect their spice. So the Pike Syndicate is a huge group. You don't mess with the Pikes.
No.
You don't mess with Black Sun. You don't mess with Crimson Dawn. And she's just a low kind of local dealer on Ord Mantell, and I just feel like the need for someone like her might dry up, or maybe if she's not willing to do the more risky, shady stuff, then they don't want her. They're not going to use her. And if she's had this change of heart, it shifts her in a way that maybe she's someone, a good candidate for the Rebel Alliance.
Yeah.
They need informants. They need someone who has intel and who knows about these people, or knows about their safe houses or their routes or their pathways. I feel like she may be someone really good down the line.
Yeah.
For the rebellion, but it's still early. We're still way before that.
Yeah.
So not exactly sure what's going down there. So
now, you thoroughly enjoyed the race. I know you. I mean, it's kind of some things you always know how it goes. You know, in the end, they make it. But you were like sitting next to me, sweating.
I was loving it. I was, so it brought me back to pod racing.
Yeah.
And it's definitely meant to kind of feel like that. Sounds like a little bit. It's just riot racing.
Yeah.
You have to have quick and fast reflexes.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, okay, they totally set us up for, is Omega going to step in there and do this? And maybe we find out that she has really quick reflexes, maybe force sensitive. That's the whole thing we've been hinting at. Is she force sensitive like Anakin a little bit? Could she be someone who who could pod race or who could riot race.
Yeah.
And it turns out that, nope, we're teasing you there, and it's going to be Tech. But during the race, I kept thinking, yeah, this is exciting. I don't know if he's going to win or how it was going to work. It was going so fast that you could definitely see Tao wasn't going to win that race for Cid when they started, because they cut away, and she's instantly, you're into the race. Here we go. We're already in it. And there was no time to build it up or get any hype or whatever. So they lose. That makes Omega sort of make the decision to, kind of like Qui-Gon Jinn, I'm going to step in here and make another wager to free up Cid, because Cid is being taken by Malegi. Malegi's got her, and he's like, I'm taking her. She's mine.
Yeah.
What was he going to do with
her? I was going to say,
what
was his plan with her? Like,
I don't know.
Maybe she does know stuff that is valuable and where. I mean, she definitely does, but like for him, that would help him more.
Yeah, it could be. It could be turn over your resources, your information, data, stuff like that. Or even if she is a point where she has money, she has a flow of resources and jobs coming through, so all of those transfer over to his group or his, you know, his control, and then he's sort of doubled his small little empire, if you will, or his network, which would be interesting. So
like a forced collaboration.
Exactly. Because she owes him. She owes him a lot.
Yeah.
So. And anyway, so they are able to clear this, but I don't know why. I enjoyed it so much. As they're going along, I just kept thinking, like, go Tech.
Yeah.
We've done, so in season one, one of the little criticisms of season one of Bad Batch was that they really just, you see them as a unit.
Yeah.
And you don't get a lot of individual time where they're kind of breaking off doing their own thing. So this time, Echo and Hunter take a back seat, and it's Wrecker and Tech, and it's really Tech. And to see that combination of Tech and Wrecker is cool, because a lot of times it has been Tech and Echo together, and Hunter and Wrecker. So they're just kind of mixing them around, and so we're getting a little taste of the different combinations of the Bad Batch, which I think is pretty neat. So, I mean, last episode was all Crosshair and really what was going on with him and everything, so and Commander Cody, so now we're back to just two of them. So we've been away from Hunter and Echo for a little bit, but I feel like that bigger conversation is growing about what are they going to do? What is their place in all of this? Echo has been talking about how they could maybe help out people in need. There are people that need us. Let's go help those people.
Yeah.
And Omega's dealing with this idea that I'm a liability for them. I don't know if I, like, what role is she going to play with the Bad Batch? Can she help them in any way? So, because didn't you ask the question, how old is she?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And yeah, because she's sitting in a bar a whole lot.
she's sitting there in the bar just sort of chilling, right?
Yeah.
Just playing chess with these guys. But these are her brothers.
Yeah.
And she's getting raised by her older brothers. I mean, younger brothers.
Yeah.
She's technically kind of older younger, than them. But crazy. Yeah. You know?
It's funny.
So she does have a lot to offer. We started off with the Jajarik game, the Hollow Chess game.
Yeah.
You were asking about that. You see that from time to time. Mm-hmm. Strategy game. And she definitely has really good intuition and understands tactics and strategy and all that kind of stuff, too. So just like Tech, she's learning a lot from Tech. So, and she'll continue to develop, I think, her abilities with whether it's the bowcaster or blaster or who knows what. She's got the energy bow that she shoots. So
I mean, probably even in this episode, she learns a lot from Tech.
Yeah,
that's
for
why
sure.
She's there, yeah.
For sure.
She has the role of, you know, I'm going to step in and say something about it. But also, she watches and hears what Tech's doing, what his strategy is on this race.
And she's kind of the moral compass a little bit for the Bad Batch. I mean, I know they're all really good people, want to do the right thing. And you've got Echo. They've got slight differences in maybe what they want to do. But she definitely is like, this is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Cid has been there for us. We're going to be there for Cid. No, she's not. You're not taking Cid from us.
Yeah.
So, and then she may be the one who ends up getting hurt by Cid in the end, because Cid betrays them for something that'll set her up for life. You know, that's what Han Solo goes through. He's like, he's talking to Chewbacca in episode 4. He's like, this could be it. We could be set up for a life. This gets us out of debt. Yeah. This clears everything. And then we're back at it. We're set up for life. Let's do this, buddy. And you don't want to see Cid get caught into that sort of option. Right. Just because then, I mean, I also want her to clear all of her any debts or to have enough to kind of retire and step away from it or whatever. But I don't want her to risk everything and then ruin her relationship with the Bad Batch. I really like her relationship with them. And I feel like this has been a cool thing where they come in, they do their jobs and, you know, roll out. But So I wonder, too, if she's working with anyone else, because she has these guys working for her, but I wonder if she's got other people doing other jobs.
Oh, totally.
Right, because in her sort of cantina there,
it feels like
her parlor. Yeah.
Right, that's the place where they all meet and
they're all hanging out there.
Get some jobs here and there,
A job comes up, and then...
Right.
And actually, that's in The Mandalorian, too, so Greef Karga, when we start off with that, you get a lot of bounty hunters in there just waiting for a puck to come through, waiting for... a job.
Yeah.
And Din Djarin is there and he gets one and he seems to be bringing in quite a bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, that seems like what they're doing as well. But all in all, I mean, Teo was kind of funny. This
the bickering with him and Tech. Yeah.
And he definitely seems like he knows what's up. I mean, he's not, he did not want to be left out of the, I thought they were just going to make some adjustment because they had repaired
him. Me too.
And then he gets wrecked.
I thought he was going to go for the second race as well. Yeah.
Yeah, but definitely not. So it was really cool. I didn't know that you could drop the guns on that. So Tech was talking about the strategy and how you move power around your vehicle.
Yeah.
It's something that Han Solo sets up in episode 4 right away, which is like he's losing the rear deflector shield.
Yeah.
So you're diverting power back there.
Yeah.
You need to divert power from the guns back to the rear deflector shield, or from your shields to your guns, or from to your engines to get away faster, and that's a common thing that they do in Star Wars, and I just think it's really cool.
Yeah,
every time they do it. So, yeah.
And you know what I really enjoy in this show is the artwork. It's great to see little world building stuff where they have a little scene walking to the actual racing grounds. Through like a little city or market or whatever it is.
Right.
And you just see, I mean, I just stopped and there's so much going on. And it's awesome because I kind of am looking into concept art and different things.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
And just seeing like the well put together, I mean, it's awesome. They're awesome. I just can't say it enough. They have the talent, the money for it, and it looks just great. And I love how you can even see, it's just, the style is so great because you can even see little brush strokey things still in their, like when you look at their armor or helmets or, it's just, it looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really cool style.
Right. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it is. And I think they've, again, they knock it out of the park in terms of the animation and how good this show looks. So I thought Omega looked really good in this as well, too.
Yeah.
She, when we first saw her, you were like, man, how old is she? Is she older?
Mm-hmm.
And it does feel like she's older. We don't always get a passing of time.
Yeah.
But it does feel like these are your teenage years where you go through puberty and you grow super fast and... You know, you get awkward, it's awkward and whatever. But I feel like that's the time we see her right now. She is growing exponentially.
Yeah.
And she's going to, the funny thing is she did not go through the age acceleration that her brothers went through.
Yeah.
And she's a Generation 1 clone, basically created from Django.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, there wasn't a whole lot. I would try to look up some other Easter eggs to see if there was anything extra in here. But, there's really not. I feel like this is just totally to lay the breadcrumbs for a Sid betrayal.
Yeah.
And if people think differently, like, let me know. But I kind of feel like that's where it's at. So, yeah.
Good old racing episode.
Yeah. It was good. Again, it reminded you of swoop bike racing in kind of the Knights of the Old Republic. It reminds you of pod racing, as we've said, too. So, yeah. All right. Well, hey, we're going to switch gears here. We're going to do some transmissions. We got some folks who sent us some transmissions, and I would love to pop in here and just read some of these. So thanks to everybody who does send these in. Been epic reading them, and I told you guys if you do, we're going to read them on the show. So feel free to send those in to StarWarsHangout77@gmail.com. Here we go. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. This is from Tino. We got Bad Batch Midichlorians. Do you remember what midichlorians are, sweetie?
Being tested.
Explain it. No, I'm sorry. And by the way, I don't want anyone to think that I'm being super, Ez, how dare you put her in the hot seat like that?
No,
there's
kidding.
So many things in Star Wars, and I always want to ask and see, like, hey, do you remember that? There's so much stuff. You have to rewatch and, like, get into it. That is sort of what's intimidating and about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why people love the companion guides, they love the tutorials, they love the YouTube channels, and that's why, again, going back to when all those guys, even to, like, this past week, I had a couple of students come in. They were talking about Bad Batch. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, it takes place, you know, right before Andor. I'm like, well, actually it doesn't. You know, I hate to be that guy. Normally, I let them, especially when they're talking, you hear them on the side talking politics. That's not my place. Like, I'm just real super independent. You guys do your thing. Make your mistakes. Wade through that water, right? But I'm sorry. When it comes to Star Wars, and it's just the gentlest of corrections, like, hey, let's put the timeline up on the board real quick. Yeah. Go over it. And they're like, whoa, really? That long before? I mean, just to show them in years, it's fun.
Mr. Yeah. Kirk has, like, his little Jedi rope hanging in his closet in his classroom that he puts on real quick to explain
my gosh,
what's actually true.
Should I do that?
That would be so funny.
Should I literally have it hanging in the closet where I'm like, all right, time out. Okay. Time out. We actually did a fun activity the other day where we were doing, we needed like a challenge activity and we watched an episode of Clone Wars and we just broke down the vocabulary in it.
You did?
Yeah.
You didn't even tell me about it.
I forgot until right now and I was like, wow, that was fun. That was fun. So yeah, that's watch awesome. Me. Any way I can weave in something fun like Star Wars, I will. Because it has such good themes and there's so many cool things you can take away from it, and I think it's good for kids, really. I think it's a fun
and they don't even realize story. They're working, they're doing something, you know, for their vocab.
Right. I mean, yeah, exactly. And what's funny is you think about Clone Wars and some of the as you I watch it through a different lens. So Tino, one second, getting right back to you. Midichlorian question. But as I was watching it and we were pulling vocabulary out, I was like, wow, there is really good stuff in here that's building your vocabulary that you might not have known about. Yeah. The different clone troopers and their squadrons and their battalion. And what is a battalion? How many?
Right.
What does that mean? How many are in a battalion?
True. Right? I don't even know.
Yeah, with around 1,000. We started looking these things up and it was fun. And I think it's good for kids. And I know a lot growing up, I know a lot of kids were, some of my younger cousins and friends were looking it up. They wanted to know what those things meant and they understood more about the military terminology or even strategy and then more about the Jedi. There's just really good stuff.
Right.
And really good themes of like light and dark and all that stuff. You guys know it all. It's great. Master and apprentice. Let's go. All right. So Tino, hey, Ez and Lottie. Hope all is well. Love the Rebels rewatch episodes. I'm also loving the Bad Batch reviews. You talked about cloning in the last review, and that was something my wife Danielle and I talked about while watching as well. We also think they need Omega to make a viable host for the Emperor. Okay, hold on. Let me stop here. So yeah, this is all the kind of the lead through. So and I was mentioning earlier in the episode why would Bad Batch connect? How does it connect to things later, whether it be Rebels, Andor, Obi-Wan? It's not going to be as connected to those things. I don't think it's really again showing you bringing in of stormtroopers, phasing out the clone troopers. Yeah. What happened after Order 66? Give us some of that story.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing it through Mount Tantus. They've been showing us that connection. We know later on. I saw a really interesting short or TikTok the other day where they said more Star Wars can fix and help Star Wars. It is the way George Lucas set this up is he wrote episodes 4, 5, and 6 and he knew.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They were the middle of the story.
Yeah.
Right? He knew it was 4, 5, and 6.
Right.
He knew there was an episode 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
And he wants to go back and so writing more episodes 1, 2, and 3 helped him with the rest of it.
Yeah.
So there is a part of it that is not super architectural, right? Like saying, hey, I know everything that's already going to happen.
Yeah.
And I can connect all the dots and pieces. No, it grows also as well. Right. I think when he does his trilogies, he does have a going from this point to that point. He's writing with an end point, if you will.
Right.
Which is really cool. But there are mystery boxes like the Force. And things that happened in the past and prophecies and all that kind of stuff that are in Star Wars that make it cool and things that you can always kind of add to the mystery. So one of them is midichlorians. One of them is, now, regardless of what you think about the sequels, they did set up a bring back of Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah.
And they brought him back as like a clone. Yeah. Right? They bring him back. He is destroyed. His essence is then transferred. We're going to get into that later.
Mm-hmm.
And he is brought back and he's trying to find a host. So Rey is the host that he thinks... he needs.
Yeah.
And that's someone of his bloodline that could kind of support his immense force power. Didn't we talk about this a little bit? Yeah, we did, right? Just in that, this is exactly what Tina was talking about, the conversation we had the other day, where we were talking about how the host, you know, you have so much force essence or power that you need someone who can kind of contain all that. So here's his big theory. My big theory about the Bad Batch is that the Empire will fall in about 20 years. Just kidding. I mean, that's what happens.
Okay. So, okay, that's funny.
I actually had a question for Ez. Since you talked so much about midichlorians last episode, I wanted to pose this thought or theory that I've had for a while. When Palpatine tells Anakin about Darth Plagueis, Palpatine says that Plagueis could manipulate the midichlorians to create life. Is Palpatine low-key telling Anakin that he was created by the dark side? We know that Shmi said Anakin had no father. This could possibly explain why his midichlorian count is so high, because he wasn't just Force-sensitive. He was created using midichlorians. What do you think? Am I tripping? Can't wait to hear your thoughts. Love the podcast, Tino. So Tino, first of all, thanks. Tino's awesome. Always supported the podcast, podcasting projects, and always has good thoughts and questions. So
thank you, Tino.
Yeah. Let's talk about this for a second. There is a, I think it's other, people debate this. Is the Darth Plagueis book, the Plagueis book, is it canon or is it not? Some people would say it's not a debate. Disney came out and said that it's Legends. And the only things that were canon were the movies and the animated TV series.
Yeah.
Right? So, because then they built their own books, their own lore, their own thing. But there have been times where they bring back in story that is based in Legends and they repurpose it and they add on to it and it becomes sort of canon. Now, because in that book, there's a Plagueis book where literally Darth Plagueis is working on manipulating midichlorians and trying to create life, trying to extend his own life.
Wow.
And And in the films, in episode 3, Palpatine says, you know, he's asking him, have you heard, right, of Darth Plagueis? Have you heard? And it's something the Jedi wouldn't teach him, so he wouldn't know about it.
Yeah.
And he talks about how Darth Plagueis was betrayed by his apprentice, which is Palpatine. Palpatine's talking about his old master, and he's not telling him that this is who he is. He's just saying, "Have you heard of him? And then have you heard of this epic where he's betrayed by his apprentice?" But they both were studying how to manipulate midichlorians, how to create life, if you will, and to save someone that you know from dying, which is what Anakin wants to do. That's the whole. So
wow, and that means Palpatine actually could have helped him. Not really at this stage, and he knows it's just a kind of like a story to get him over to his side. But I mean, in the long run,
oh, absolutely,
he could have.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like this is what he knew it took to bring Anakin to the dark side. But yet, it was not something he would. Even if Palpatine figured it out, he's like, "That's for me, bro.
Yeah,
I'm not bad. True. I mean, like, I'm gonna figure that out, and I don't want you to take over. I want to be a Sith Lord forever.
Yeah.
You can forever be my apprentice.
Yeah, which is." Outrageous. Like, how, why?
It's unfair.
Right. No,
it's outrageous. That's what Anakin says to Mace Windu when he's trying to bring him to council. Yeah.
I mean, how does Lord Vader always, how is he always okay with being, you know, never being number one, but like, I'm just doing this for Palpatine.
Yeah. And that's so, actually, remember we were reading some of the Dr. Aphra stuff, and Vader does start to, and even in the film, when he calls out to Luke, he says, "Together, you and I." Right, could rule the galaxy.
Yeah.
And so he is prepared to take over.
Yeah, okay.
And destroy him at some point, but he's sort of plotting and figuring out when and
And
you need a good reason to. I mean, at what point it's actually Luke and this connection to family that I think propels Vader back into an ambitious sort of mindset where he's like, "Okay, I'm going to take over." Now, in Legends and canon, there was like his apprentice Starkiller and he always was trying to take over and beat Palpatine. But definitely, I think there is. So in the Plagueis book, it is talked about that he uses, he is studying. He's almost like a mad scientist studying about midichlorians and how can you manipulate life. He brings in certain other, you know, force sensitives and does experiments on them. What I have read and what I think I remember from that book is that they were kind of saying that the force responded to Darth Plagueis.
Okay.
To the Sith, that the light side, because the dark side was learning this power and learning how to manipulate life and create sort of a power that would make him immortal, the light side rose up or created a champion, Anakin. If that makes sense, right? So that now that is, you know, you go back and forth because, as Tino is saying, people debate this. They're like, no, 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 no. What about the idea then that Palpatine learned this from his master, or that Plagueis, or that Palpatine sort of did something to Shmi and did experiment from afar and created like life in her?
Yeah.
There is a comic book that comes out, and there was some weird Mad Vader vision where Palpatine was standing behind Shmi doing some crazy Sith work and created life. And that could have been Anakin.
Wow.
Which is wild. I believe the way that that story... I know. Okay, sorry. Maybe the way I described that... Maybe that wasn't the best. I mean, literally, I'll pull it. You guys go look it up. There's a comic where it's just like he's you know, okay. Sith magic is going on. Anyway, all right. We try to keep this PG, you know what I mean? But sometimes we can't help it. Thanks, Tino, for getting us into this. But yeah, so it's a trippy one to go back and forth on. Was he created by the dark side? It's sort of like what they tried to do in The Force Awakens, where Luke Skywalker retreats and he steps away after Kylo Ren, Ben Solo, falls to the dark side. A great champion of the dark side arises, and that is Ben Solo.
Yeah.
So Luke Skywalker's like, I know I'm the champion of the light side. Yeah. I know that I am this person, but I am tired, or I'm like, I don't really like the way that they necessarily did this, but it is what they did. It's fine. So they said that, you know, Luke decided, I'm going to go to Octu. He goes to that planet, right?
Yeah.
And he retreats and cuts himself off from the Force so that the Force could awaken in Rey.
Oh, so find a new champion.
It would find
a
new champion. Yes. Oh, okay. And it would exactly. And so what it does, and what ends up being canon in Disney, is that the new champion is Rey, who is Palpatine's granddaughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Crazy.
Wild. Yeah. So Darth Vader's grandson is the champion of the dark side, and Palpatine's granddaughter is champion of the light side.
Yeah.
Twisted.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. It's almost like I wish it would have, it still could have been like that, but not bring Palpatine back. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever. We're not going to get into all that. But so that's sort of what has been implied with the Plagueis book. Back when it was, you know, when it came out and people were talking about it, it's sort of like, because the Sith were doing all of this weird manipulation and creating life and trying to prolong life, it's almost like the light side countered them and said, boom, here's Anakin.
Yeah.
And he's the chosen one.
Yeah.
The Force, and that's what the prophecy sort of talks about with, Mace Windu, Yoda, the boy who would bring balance to the Force. So the reason that works is because he's balancing what the Sith Lords, the current Sith Lords, are doing.
Yeah.
And so, and then ultimately he will bring balance to the Force, however you see that, by defeating the Sith, which some people are like, well, it creates an imbalance because the Sith are gone and now it's just the Jedi. But whatever. I mean, prophecies are meant to be, I think, kind of mysterious,
right?
Interpreted,
have room for interpretation.
Yeah, room for interpretation and stuff like that. So, anyway, this is a great one because I feel like people can. Maybe someone has a different thought, and hopefully this is you're sitting there and thinking like Ez got this wrong, or maybe he's got this right, or he's close, and you want to write in because I did not get a chance to really do a lot of digging and research on this one before we read it. I wanted to make sure I got this out here for Tino and for folks to kind of consume and think about because. It is a cool question, and it has been in the comic. I'll put a link to the comic down below in the description so you guys can go pull up that comic where Vader has the vision, and it was for a hot second, you know, the Star Wars community was like, whoa, 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 this changes canon, right? They were like, Palpatine created Anakin, confirmed, and then it was sort of like the next comic sort of was like, nah, that was just a vision, a dream, it's not necessarily real, but why put it there? I mean... Whatever. It's just one of those things. I think it was even in the script. I think there was actually a debate about this in the episode 3 script. You guys let me know. I think George Lucas could have gone both ways with this. Because the Plagueis book doesn't matter. The Plagueis book is actually just something that they wrote after the fact to kind of fit in. It fit into, you know, Star Wars canon or lore. But whatever George Lucas was doing, whatever his idea for the chosen one for Anakin, that was what was more important. Mm-hmm. And even if Palpatine did create Anakin and Shmi, if you want to go with that, right, then Qui-Gon Jinn was still like the stand-in father figure that he needed.
Yeah.
And that duel of fates that took place when Palpatine's apprentice struck down Qui-Gon Jinn, then now Anakin is raised by like a more like an older brother figure who mm-hmm. who's not ready yet. It was not mature enough, like Qui-Gon, to lead someone like that and be everything that he needed to stay true on the light side and be a true champion of the light. He then falls to the dark side, right? And it's through yeah. his family, and it's through Luke and that connection back to Padme
yeah.
that brings him back to the light.
Yeah.
So it's Star Wars is so trippy. It's got so many different elements. What are you looking up? I see you looking at something. What's going
on? You want to hear something funny?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think the whole conversation when you said, do you remember what midichlorians are? Yeah. I think you never explained it, actually, after we started talking about it.
Sorry.
And, you know, I understood what it was when you kept you kept talking about it, and I was yeah, like, yeah. "Oh, okay, I remember those, like almost like dust particles, but not really." You know, like yeah. the dust particles
in blood
in his dark materials were dust around it, but not really. Now I read up on it. That is super interesting, and it's it reminds you a little bit of midichlorians, mitochondria, like almost like a little
right,
and the way they look. And this artwork here is cool. And this is what they, and you probably, I mean, you know this. And
no, say it. This is good.
It hit me again. This is what they experimented with blood samples that they harvested from Grogu, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the whole tie-in to Grogu, Mandalorian. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as Tina was suggesting, like you're talking about cloning. You're talking about, could you create someone who has a higher midichlorian count and thus is force sensitive.
Yeah.
You know, because Palpatine clones himself and his clones don't seem to be force sensitive.
Yeah.
His Rey's father didn't have the force.
Yeah.
He couldn't use it.
Yeah.
And even though he's a direct clone from Palpatine, why? Right? So that's the whole thing. They're trying to figure that out. Can you do that? And that's the mystic sort of mystery part of it that you really can't, or if you get close to it, as I suggested with Plagueis, then the force will counter. Or maybe it's none of that, and it is just, you know, it is just that, like, he's the chosen one and he was created by the force. I mean, Shmi says it, there was no father.
Yeah,
can't explain it. So yeah, it's a good one, Tino, and I'm glad you brought that up, because yeah, again, midichlorians, the thing I never explained to you, sorry, in episode one, Qui-Gon looks at Anakin and they're impressed by his ability to pod race and that he can almost see things before they happen. And he is, what does he say to the council? He's encountered a divergence in the force. He's been brought to this boy for a reason. This boy has been brought to us. He checks his blood count. He checks for his midichlorian count.
Right.
And he has more midichlorians than even Master Yoda.
His midichlorian level surpassed all Jedi, including Grandmaster Yoda.
Yeah. Over 20,000, I think they say. Yeah. I know. It's reminding you of
Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z, Over 9,000! Yeah. So, no, well over 9,000, 20,000.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, any additional thoughts on midichlorians or Anakin being the chosen one? I'll go do some research. Maybe we'll do a follow-up conversation about this where I can go back. Because I haven't read the Plagueis book in a long time, and I haven't even read some of the deleted scenes from episode 3 and the script leaks where they talk about the script and what George Lucas was debating about. I think he contemplated the idea that Palpatine would reveal to Anakin that he was his father. Whether that's a lie, whether that was a lie that we didn't know the answer, whether it was true or not, or it was the truth. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And one of those things that he was sort of playing around with in his mind.
Yeah.
So I'll see if we can find some links and resources to that. But great conversation, Tino. Jack also sent us one, too. I want to read this real quick for him. So we got, he says, big shout out to you two for getting up early to do the Bad Batch episodes. We did not this week because we had collaboration after collaboration this week. It was
crazy.
Wild.
But fun.
It was great. So Jack, thank you for writing in and telling us that. He said some serious dedication. Also super excited to hear Further Up might be starting back
Woo-hoo!
Up. And guess what? It is out there. If you guys are into our Narnia podcast, we do this with Lane and Saria. I can't.
They
talk
get different
today.
Names every time.
They're like, what do we call them sometimes?
Lara Insane.
Lara Insane. That happens so fast. My mind. Ooh. It literally.
Your mind is pod racing.
It is, but I Yeah, I just keep, I mean, I have like certain like file folders that have to stay open for Star Wars. So other stuff just gets kind of shifted over, and it's like, yeah, we do. Sorry, that's not important. Star Wars, here you go.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's like one half of my brain is.
Yeah, just, if you imagine the movie Inside Out with all the little people in your brain, and they're having like this Star Wars screen on all the time.
All
like,
the time. All the time.
24/7. And then there's some other stuff over here. A little bit of Lottie over here. And then Star Wars on the big screen.
Yo, no. Now, Lottie's big. Lottie's a big part of that screen. But I will say, if she ever sees me drifting off, she can just fill in the blank. He's thinking about Star Wars.
Yeah.
He is imagining himself standing there watching the twin sun set on Tatooine.
I heard a lot of men also have this awesome screen where there's nothing.
Really?
Just nothingness.
Really?
Know? There's nothing. Which is awesome. Like...
Really?
You know how
I guess
sometimes, and it's not like men or women or whatever, but like some people just have constant thoughts, never.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's never shutting up there. And then some just have this awesome place where there's nothing.
Master Oogway.
Just peace.
Inner peace.
Yeah.
Inner peace. Or who is that? No, it was actually Master Oogway had found it.
Yeah.
But the other one was trying to find it.
Oh, the little raccoon or whatever. Yeah. My gosh, I loved him.
Yeah, he was so cool. But he was always
Shifu, Master Shifu.
Yeah, Shifu. He was always trying to go inner peace.
Yeah.
Inner
peace. When Poe was doing something.
Yeah, exactly. So talk about a way you could take that into Star Wars and find some Jedi master who was struggling with his apprentice and trying to seek inner peace while the apprentice is all over the place. But Jack, thank you so much. Appreciate that. We are super happy to be back doing further up. So Sarah, Lane, Lottie, myself are doing that, and it's gonna be coming out. I think we're meeting once a month kind of, and we're gonna be dropping that episode as well as we're dropping Up Talk and Tolkien. We're doing the Silmarillion over there. So if you're interested in that, we have been covering the Silmarillion is what that is. But we call it the Silmarillion because
I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, so crazy time over there where we, and again, my mind doesn't have room to go dig into all that lore because I got all this Star Wars stuff I got to keep intact. So there's that. But hey, friends, again, always if you get a chance, it helps the show, send us a transmission. I'm actually getting into another workout program that I wanted to tell folks about.
That's
I'm going to
so
do
exciting.
A more formal drop on this, but I was super excited. Paul reached out to me. I'll talk more about Paul later. And it was sort of the trooper workout. Clone Trooper workout. Yeah, no, he did one for the Obi-Wan Kenobi series where it was like an 8-week program. It's like a 12-week thing. And since we're doing the Bad Batch and everything, I thought I would give it a try and stuff. So I'll let you guys know how that workout's going and send links next episode to kind of introduce it. But at the tail end of this, I wanted to mention that that's something we're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
I love when things have a Star Wars theme and I can just go.
Right. It's another way just to, fun. You make it fun.
Yeah.
You make something that is sometimes hard to follow through.
Yeah.
You make it fun and exciting. So. You know, you make sure you just enjoy that part of your life.
And don't you feel like sometimes it's when you do those things, just like with your artwork sometimes, or when we do the podcast for Shell Cottage Radio, it's an extension of that story that you love so much.
Yes.
Same thing with
always.
This podcast. It's just another way for me to talk about it
and
go back and forth with Tino or any of these guys in terms of what they think about Star Wars. By the way, Kayla, shout out to Kayla for signing up over on Patreon. Literally,
Kayla,
thank you so
much.
You're
so awesome.
How do I get... I need Kayla's thoughts on everything.
Yeah.
So if you get a chance, shout out to her. She's wonderful. And appreciate her for just supporting our projects and stuff like that. It just dawned on me because I just started that all up and we're getting it all fired up. But as The Mandalorian gets closer, I would love to... Anyone who supports us over on Patreon would love to bring you guys on for a council session and just chat.
You get a special shirt for that.
Yeah, special shirt. I mean, really, kind of early on, I'm being a little bit more... Anybody at any way that you can support it, like, it just sort of gets the hype sort of increased and then it's just fun, you know?
Yeah.
So talking to Paul, too, I might try to have Paul on the... On the cast as well, and then other Star Wars content creators who are lined up for The Mandalorian.
I mean,
be good.
Ez is building something big over here, so
it's in the early stages.
Be a part of it.
Yeah, it's in the early stages, but we are on a mission right now, and so
he's building a new empire.
Yeah, it's so cool too because early on, it's nice to like know people who were here. This is my final Star Wars project. You know what I mean? This is my one and only. Like I've started off on different ventures with different folks and I've been in the community for a long time doing it.
True.
But I will always do this podcast. This is like something that I love, and Lottie knows this. I mean, if you guys didn't see the lightsaber video, by the way, on Instagram, I have more lightsaber videos coming because I'm working on a little some cosplay between, you know, Lottie and myself for mm-hmm. Star Wars Celebration. Maybe not this year, but the following year. This one's in London, and we have some things, some reasons why we maybe can't go.
No.
So I'm fine. But we are definitely excited for it, and yeah, we just have a lot of fun stuff coming in the future. I just, Star Wars is my life. Harry Potter is our life, and we just love these fandoms. We love being, you know, doing this type of stuff. So as we get off here, literally the next thing I'm doing is making some Harry Potter hangout shorts and making some Star Wars shorts. Mm-hmm. And some of you are probably like, wow, Ez makes a lot of shorts in terms of, like, not the shorts you wear, by the way. I'm talking about short little videos, okay? And
I can smell it. A stink bug in here. Or
I'm so sorry.
One you killed it?
I did.
Did you put it in there?
I Order 66'd it, and I did put it in that trash can.
I told you not to.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
Is it that bad?
Yes, I told you. I cannot stand
really? I didn't think... I can't smell them.
Oh, my God. Come over here.
The podcast is ending. Hold on. You gotta... Oh, come over here, and you can say, may the force be with you. No, we're ending the podcast. Okay. So, friends, hey, we love you guys. Thank you guys so much. And as always, may the force be with you.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.